The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the
herb. Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host... Normal's outreach coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Thursday, November 3rd, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for today's show. We got all sorts of great stuff coming at you today, starting with our own senior news editor, the incomparable Cannabis Carrie. How you doing, Carrie?
Hi, Russ. I'm sure you compare me to a lot of things.
Well, I would compare you to the best cannabis news journalist anywhere. That's what I would do.
Oh, wow. I think I'd hand that over to Steve Elliott happily.
Well, we'll see what we can do. Carrie brings us our hemp headlines here right after the first break so we can get all the news out of the way. So what's in the news today?
Well, first up, we're going to talk a little bit more about that Fort Collins referendum, and I'll let you know how the final tally shook down on that one. Also, not a story about marijuana, but a story about prohibition again. The mother of a son who died of K2 is suing a store owner. We're also going to look at Chicago, who brought up decrim yesterday in a city council meeting. And this actually from our very own pirate, Ganja John. He wanted me to bring you the story about some floating weed off the coast of Mexico.
Floating weed off the... Square groupers, I understand.
That's right.
All right. Well,
square groupers.
Get your nets ready. The square groupers are out. Okay. Also on today's show, it's Groovin' Thursday, so we're going to bring you some great hip-hop style music from johndoeradio.com. Check that out. Also on today's show, we have got a visit from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. I know it's normally on the second and fourth Thursdays, but we got a schedule mix-up, so we're going to do it today. We're going to have Cops Say Legalized Drugs featuring Captain Joe Brooks, who we rebooked from the last time we tried to get in touch with him. And then at the end of the show, I'm not sure exactly what we're going to do. It's either going to be a rant or a visit with the Southern California scenes. We're going to find out as the show progresses. I'd also like to give a shout-out to my friend Yellowwanna Cake out there. Darla from Yellowwanna Cake stopped by the studio. Stopped by and said howdy, if you know what I mean. And so I wanted to give her a shout out. Want to encourage everyone to check out yellowwannacake.com for some great marijuana edible recipes. She came by and showed me some of the gummy bears that she's putting together. Oh my God, these gummy bears, they're like gummy bears on steroids. They're huge. And she was saying one of them was containing about 150 milligrams or something of hash. They sound really good. I didn't get a chance to try one of those out. So I encourage you to check it out, yellowwannacake.com, yellow, J-U-A-N-A, yellowwannacake.com, and get her cookbook out there. It's selling really well and get you all sorts of great recipes, great ways to make your cannabis in edible preparations. When we come back, it's time for the hemp headlines and more. Stick around. It's Normal Show Live.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that gives us these precious rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search or seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
You're listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. In my job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to Weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of Normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. Weedmaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit Weedmaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network. Inhaling deeply all the sacred smoke.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
We told you yesterday about the Fort Collins election results that showed question 300 that would ban dispensaries in the town was ahead in the vote tally. As the votes came in last night, the opponents of the ban were able to narrow the gap, but did ultimately lose that one. The city of Fort Collins, Colorado, has decided to ban medical marijuana businesses by a 52% of the vote to 58% opposed. Now, the difference in tally at the end was just 1,490 votes. The ordinance will effectively shut down 20 local businesses, cost just over 200 employees their jobs, rob the city out of hundreds of thousands of dollars in tax revenues as well. But the opponents to the ban are not giving up. They say that they will be working on their own referendum, as well as looking into voter suppression offenses, such as failing to send in mail-in ballots to inactive voters. And they also say that they will work on bringing the issue back to the voters in 2012.
Well, you know, there's like I've said before, it's not a question of whether or not there'll be regulated dispensaries or no dispensaries. It's a question of whether there'll be regulated dispensaries or unregulated dispensaries. It's not like the people in the Fort Collins area that are using medical cannabis right now are going to stop using it. They're going to continue using it. They're going to drive out of town and take their money to other towns, or they're going to get it from the guy who used to supply it to the dispensary in Fort Collins, who's now dealing it out of his apartment or out of a park or somewhere else. People are going to get their medicine, especially in the state of Colorado, where it is a constitutional right to be able to use that medicine. Now, I know that the people of Fort Collins, Colorado, tend to be more conservative law, and a lot of this just smacks of the discrimination against the stereotype of marijuana users rather than any problems that we're seeing with dispensaries or marijuana users in Fort Collins in the first place. They never cite any evidence here that shows how Fort Collins has fallen apart, how crime is up, or anything terrible has happened because of the dispensaries. It's really just because they don't like a certain kind of people.
Sorry about that. And not a marijuana headline, but yet another prohibition story about the so-called synthetic marijuana that has been in the news this year. The mother of a teen killed in a car crash in Illinois has filed a lawsuit against the owner of the store where her son purchased the synthetic marijuana product that was found in his system after the crash. 19-year-old Max Dobner and his friend bought the product that was sold as iAroma from a cigar store in a mall in Aurora. Even though the product was labeled as potpourri and showed no instructions for use as a smoking product, there was a picture on the front and the backs of the back of the box that showed smoke trails coming from what looks like a cigarette. Also, the ingredients on the box are listed as marshmallow leaf and fruit scent, but make no reference to synthetic drugs. The suit claims that after Max and a female friend smoked the product and he was dropped off at home, he began to have symptoms similar to a panic attack. He made a frantic call to his brother, then ran out of the house, leaving the door wide open, got into the family car and began driving erratically on the wrong side of the road, knocking over road signs, speeding up, and eventually crashing the car into a house. Max, unfortunately, died at the scene. The suit alleges that the product is more powerful than natural marijuana and is known to cause pronounced psychological and physical reactions in the human body, including delusions, paranoia, cardiac issues, and panic attacks. Karen Dobler, Max's mother, said that she had never even heard of JWH compounds or synthetic marijuana before her son was killed. She is convinced that he thought it was a safe product since it was sold in a store. She also contends that the store owner should have known that the items were not being purchased as a household scent, but being routinely smoked by the people that were purchasing the products.
Well, I don't know. It's a shame that anyone dies, of course, and we don't mean to make light of this mother's mourning, of course, but look, these are products that are sold with a label on them that clearly says not intended for human consumption. The kid dying in the car wreck, I mean, that adds another level of responsibility in here. Not necessarily the K2 that caused his death, but perhaps the injuries from the wreck in the car. I don't know if the story made any concern over that, if it actually listed the details out, what he died of. It's a shame when any child dies, and I understand a parent's reaction to want to sue people over this, but understand that you're going after the wrong target. It's not K2 that killed your kid. It's prohibition that killed your kid. In a world where marijuana was legal, it would be available for all adults, and if a kid did manage to get a hold of some, he'd have been getting a hold of something that would have been tested for potency and purity at the adult store, or at the very least could have just been black market marijuana. Marijuana that, has never killed anyone in 5,000 years of recorded human use. It is because of the prohibition of marijuana that leads manufacturers to try to get around those restrictions, to try to capture that market that's looking for an herbal high by using synthetic cannabinoids and getting around the Controlled Substances Act by tweaking a couple of molecules here and there. If you really want to put your efforts into a lawsuit, let's sue the federal government. Let's sue the drug czar for prohibiting your kid from being able to get at the safest alternative he could have used in that circumstance.
On Wednesday, the City Council of Chicago brought up an ordinance that would decriminalize marijuana in the Windy City. Councilman Danny Solis introduced an ordinance to the City Council on Wednesday that would make possession of small amounts of marijuana a ticketable offense worthy of a $200 fine in place of the current system that makes possession of any amount a misdemeanor that carries jail time and up to a $1,500 fine. But the vast majority of those cases get dismissed when it's a small amount of marijuana. According to the Cook County Clerk Circuit Court statistics, 87% of the misdemeanor marijuana cases between 2006 and 2010 were dismissed. At a City Hall news conference yesterday, councilman also pointed out the disproportionate number of minorities that are being arrested for marijuana possession over the last decade. The predominantly minority West Side's 28th Ward led the city with 12,270 arrests. The 32nd and 43rd Wards had only 719 and 529 arrests, respectively, during that time, even though DePaul University straddles both wards. Seven other black wards each recorded more than 7,000 arrests over the decade. Solis estimates that by enacting the new ordinance, the city could generate $7 million by year end and would save police and courthouse workers considerable money and time. The ordinance would require people who happen to be caught with 10 grams or less of marijuana to pay the $200 fine. Solis says that in times of economic difficulties, the city could use the revenue generated by that $200 fine as opposed to the vast amount of money that we spend on police officers doing paperwork and courthouse workers keeping track of all the marijuana arrests. The 23,000 arrests on misdemeanor charges in the city last year added up to at least 84 1,000 work hours that police spent driving suspects out of neighborhoods where they were arrested, then doing paperwork, inventorying evidence, and handling all the other chores that take them off the streets. And that doesn't even include the hours when officers are appearing in court or the time that county workers at the jail and the courthouse have to devote to such cases. Chicago is just the latest city considering such a decriminalization measure. But the debate there is centered entirely on money and wasted resources. Mayor Rahm Emanuel has passed the ordinance on to the police superintendent, Gary McCarthy, to look at before he decides if he will endorse the measure. But he has said that he will not be rushed into decriminalization because doing so may create its own set of problems. Well, we hope that Rahm gets behind this measure and saves the city of Chicago millions and the citizens of Chicago peace of mind.
I wouldn't hold my breath on Rahm Emanuel. This is the guy who, when he was chief of staff at the Clinton White House, floated the plan to take away the prescription licenses of doctors who merely mentioned the medical use of marijuana. So he's not exactly a big friend of marijuana, let's put it that way. And look, I always love this argument. Look, Chicago, if you're sick of spending police resources on going after marijuana and you want to make some money off of marijuana users, instead of making it a situation where a cop has to catch a pot smoker and the cops only catch a few pot smokers to make that $200, how about you just legalize it, put a $50 an ounce tax on it, and every pot smoker will get you about $200 in the span of 4 months to a year.
And we have a pirate story of sorts. This story actually came to me by way from our own pirate, Ganja John, who
pirates love the normal show. Because it's always smoking, matey.
That's right. No doubt that Ganja John was dreaming about finding this treasure at sea before the Navy did. This week, the Mexican Navy found over 2 tons of packages, 178 overall, bobbing in the Pacific Ocean about 24 miles off the coast. The marijuana was high grade and floating in the packaging and was found just outside of Cabo San Lucas Port. The Navy released a statement saying that they did not speculate on the origin of the packages. Now, in an unrelated story, meanwhile, the world's best-known hacktivist group, Anonymous, has declared an all-out war on one of the most violent Mexican drug cartels. Allegedly, the Zetas gang kidnapped a hacker in Veracruz. Now, in a posted YouTube video this week, Anonymous, decked out in the infamous Guy Fawkes masks, said that they would release information about police, journalists, taxi cab drivers, and city officials working with the Zetas gang if the missing member of their group is not released unharmed by Friday. Some members of the group have already come out and questioned about whether taking on such a large, wealthy, violent, and connected group was a good idea. Other members are questioning whether anyone was kidnapped at all. But then again, hacktivists have already been busy breaking into the website of a local politician, branding the website with the message, "Es Zeta," or "He is Zeta."
All right. Well, we'll see what Anonymous can do. I really don't know how much the Zeta cartel uses computer networks and computers, but maybe this information that they have would be damaging to them, and it can get them to release this this activist. Anything we can do to cripple the underground dangerous cartels in Mexico, as far as I'm concerned, is a good thing. All right, got some quick news here from one of my favorite writers out at Time Magazine, Maya Zalovitz, who posts, study, legal medical marijuana doesn't encourage teens to smoke more pot. That's right, legal medical marijuana does not encourage teens to smoke pot. And we bring this to you on the eve of the 15th anniversary of the passage of Proposition 215 in California. That's right, tomorrow, November 4th marks the 15th anniversary of Prop 215. And Maya writes, despite warnings from opponents of medical marijuana, legalizing the drug for medical purposes does not encourage teens to smoke more pot. According to new research that compared rates of marijuana use in Massachusetts and Rhode Island after the latter state changed its laws. Rhode Island legalized medical marijuana in 2006, but Massachusetts did not. Quote, we wanted to pair these two states because they have so much in common culturally and geographically, end quote, says Dr. Esther Chu, assistant professor of emergency medicine at Brown University's Warren Alpert Medical School and emergency medicine physician at Rhode Island Hospital. Chu's analysis used data collected from 1997 to 2009 for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's annual Youth Risk Behavior Survey. The analysis involved nearly 13,000 youth in Rhode Island and about 25,000 youth in Massachusetts. In each state, in any given year, the study found, about 30% of youth reported using marijuana at least once in the previous month. 30% of youth used marijuana at least once in the previous month in Massachusetts and Rhode Island. In other words, while marijuana use was common, there was no significant difference in rate of pot use between the years before and after legalization in Rhode Island. Quote, "We found no effect of the policy change," said Chu. These results are consistent with a 2005 analysis conducted by Dr. Mitch Earlywine, associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York, Albany, for the Marijuana Policy Project. He found that between 1996 and 2004, previous month pot use by ninth graders declined by 47%. It's important to note that these analyses have not been subjected to peer review, but could it be possible that associating pot with uncool old people and making it legitimate rather than rebellious actually deters youth use of marijuana? Well, I don't know. It's an interesting theory. Maybe pot's not so cool when it's granny's glaucoma medicine. Hey, stay tuned. We're back with some Groovin' Thursday music right after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man, a reefer man? Have you ever met that funny reefer man, a reefer man? If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Alternative Medical Choices offers healthcare the way it should be. Easy to access, patient-centered, team-based, and quality-focused. We offer a variety of natural, affordable healthcare treatment options like primary care, group acupuncture, massage, and assistance with OMP registration. As a patient, you will have a team of experts working with you to make you the best you can be. Call Alternative Medical Choices at 503-288-5579 or check us out on the web at altmedchoices.com.
Remember, friends don't let friends drive stoned. Friends help friends finish off that sack, take a walk to the convenience store, load up on munchies, and crash on the couch. That's what friends do. Normal stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Pop Pass Records.
Oh. It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Groovin' Thursday, our salute to all the dopest beats and killer rhymes that we find in the best of rap, hip-hop, soul, R&B, and funk. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
All right, welcome back, folks. Time to get our groove on with the Kings, of course. The Cottonmouth Kings are legendary from Suburban Noise Records as being the masters of cannabis 420 hip-hop. And, of course, with their recent addition of Crook County's The Dirt Ball, right here from Bend, Oregon, they have quickly become, once again, one of my favorite bands. I liked them before, and I thought they only got better with the addition of Dirt Ball. So we're going to bring up some more music here from the Cottonmouth Kings. This is Time to Get High.
If you ain't got no chronic, don't act like you smoke that good shit. Cam came on back up when you asked like a piece of shit. D-Lo, Johnny, Rick, know what time it is.
It's time to get high, it's time to get high. Need to break your weed out and let the smoke fly. It's time to get high, it's time to get high. Need to break your weed out and let the smoke fly.
Light it up, here we go,
here we go.
Light it up.
Yeah, we got
the bomb shit. We be hovin' smoking, blowing dank Kim K. We ain't bullshitting. Pack your pipe, here's a light, fill it up with the chronic. So we can blow this bitch up, never flown it. If you ain't got no grip nugs that like green fluffy shit to make a sucker buzz, watch the smoke rise. When I step into the room, no surprise. I consume, you could look in my eyes, cuz buzz. Smoke that shit like a thug does 24/7. People think I sell bust slang sacks, cause I smoke like the dealer does. Fuck that. Y'all need to step back and peel back and quit the riffraff. It's like a big slap when you tell something, something. No one listens, what's up with that? Blow a smoke like a dragon, rock a blunt so we can hit it crack. You deal off what's head.
It's time to get high. It's time to get high. Need to break your weed out and let the smoke fly. It's time to get high. It's time to get high. Need to break your weed out and let the smoke fly.
Light it up. Here we go.
Here we go.
Light it up. Roll it up. One more.
One more.
Light it up. Light it up. Here we go.
Here we go.
Cut mouths in the bitch. Smoking out the working class.
Lifesavers got a different taste. Next time I take a hit, I'ma need famous. Plus I'm shameless with my promotion of pot. So if y'all old enough, I got the dough to smoke. Why not? Shit, I just took a hit and I'ma hit it again. Then I'ma pass it to a friend, then I'ma hit it again. Yeah, buddy, the bud got me feeling kinda nutty. And a half an hour later, now I'm feeling kinda hungry. Point blank, we need to open up a dank bank, cause weed is worth more than gold in the streets of LA. So if you got a fat sack, then use a fat cap. But if you only got a grand, then you're hardly the man. I got big bones filling up with nothing but chronic, and bottles of Grey Goose from a vodka and tonic.
Johnny Ricky, yeah, the man.
Yeah, that's what they be screaming. Sometimes my life is so good, it's like I gotta be dreaming.
It's time to get high. It's time to get high. Need to break your weed out and let the smoke fly. It's time to get high. It's time to get high. Need to break your weed out and let the smoke fly.
Time to come up on some fluffy green herb. We celebrate by getting baked straight kicked to the curb. It's that sweet aroma, the breakfast of chance. Put your brain in a coma, get you lit like a lamp in this camp. We're smoking nothing but the chronic, the cream of the crop. Yeah, we always Cheech and Chong, reaching for the bong in 24/7. Lifted like an elevator, heading towards the heaven. We're cottonmouth queens, caressing chronic clouds. Floating through the atmosphere, we really high now. Wow, we really high now. Hell yeah, we high now. The clocks are 420. It's time to get high. It's time to get high. It's time to get high. The clocks are 420. It's time to get high. You need to break your weed out and let the smoke fly, 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 fly.
You want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
I have to say that there was one question that was voted on that ranked fairly high, and that was whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation. I don't know what this says about the online audience. The answer is no. I don't think that is a good strategy to grow our economy. So,
there's nothing funny about nearly 1 million lives wrecked by a marijuana arrest every year, Mr. President. Politely tell President Obama what you think about legalization by calling the White House at 202-456-1111. This is Normal Show Live.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place. Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook rolls all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Let me help you with that.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We are old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization.
Yes.
We
can.
All right, welcome back to Normal Show Live, Voice of the Marijuana Nation. Unfortunately, we are unable to get Joe Brooks on the line. We rebooked him from a previous engagement, and we're not getting him here at this engagement either. So we'll get that all worked out next week on our second Thursday of the month, as we usually do on second and fourth Thursdays. We will do our law enforcement against prohibition, and we'll have some other great LEAP speaker, I'm sure, who will be available to join us. So in the meantime, I'm going to head back to our news stories, and there are a few other news stories that I wanted to talk about in the news today that we didn't get to in our hemp headlines like we normally do. One of them here, quite interesting, from Time Magazine, and this is something that we've all known for quite a while, but they're just getting around to it in the mainstream media, and that is the meaning of the Harry Potter term muggles. A lot of us already knew what this meant, and this is something that was originally written back in July, but just came back up on the news feeds again. Muggles, of course, is a jazz term from the 1920s, a slang term for marijuana. There's a Time Magazine article from 1931 which states that the definition of muggle is, quote, a variety of hemp weed long common in Mexico, end quote. Now, in 2003, the Oxford English Dictionary added muggle to its list of words, and Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling has said that the etymology stems from British slang, mug, which means an easily fooled person. She also has said she hadn't realized the term's druggy past. So for those of you who might be rolling up a joint, rolling, get it, be aware, you may be more magical than you thought. So, okay, good to know, but something we've known, you know, back from when we were listening to Cannabob's, the jazz show he was doing, the Roots Monday Jazz Show, the Viper Hour. We learned that from his examination back then. So very interesting stuff there. In other news that's kind of interesting to those of us following the medical marijuana issue out here out west, a new poll released Wednesday found strong support for the state's stricter medical marijuana law and showed that potential voters are nearly equally split in the U.S. Senate election. The Montana State University Billings poll said 62% of respondents favored the overhaul of the pot law adopted by the legislature earlier this year. The survey taken in mid-October included 411 adult residents and had a margin of error of 5 percentage points. The legislature's crackdown on pot repealed the original medical marijuana statute approved by voters in 2004. It replaced it with a much tougher law that makes it more difficult to get a medical marijuana card and severely limits the supply of the drug. Supporters of the new law argued it was needed to control an industry that was out of control. The medical marijuana industry countered that the legislature went too far in several ways, Pot providers are also fighting the move in an ongoing court battle and have successfully placed a measure on the 2012 ballot asking voters if they want to keep the legislature's tough new law or return to the original law. The poll, however, found that only 28% of respondents oppose the legislature's move. The poll also found that 55% of people in Montana believe medical marijuana users should not be allowed to buy guns and ammunition. Recently, the federal government warned gun dealers not to sell to people holding medical marijuana cards. So, folks, this is something that I've warned people about, is that there's this backlash against medical marijuana that has been developing over the past 2 or 3 or 4 years. And poll results like this are only confirming my hypothesis. The people of Montana passed medical marijuana by a large measure back in 2004. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they passed it by about 62%. Let me check my big book of marijuana facts, but I believe that was the passage rate in Montana. So if that's true, the people supporting the new current stricter law are equal to the number of people who passed the law in the first place. Yep, I was absolutely right. 62% of the voters in 2004 passed the original medical marijuana law. And according to this new poll, 62% of the voters like the new overhaul of the law they currently have. This is bad news for the people out at Montana Normal, montananormal.org, Montana Patients and Families United, all the people up in Montana who were buoyed by the success of getting the referendum on the ballot. But it looks as though once the people come to vote on it, unless there's a major swing in public opinion and a great education campaign to get that swing in public opinion, it looks to me as if that SB 423 is here to stay. What it pretty much did is eliminated the dispensary industry that they have up there in, or had up there in Montana, made the caregiver rules much more strict. It ended Montana's reciprocity, so no longer would they accept medical marijuana cards from other states, now only 4 states, Arizona, Michigan, Maine, and Rhode Island. Arizona, Michigan, Maine, and Rhode Island still have reciprocity for other states' medical marijuana cards. In other words, they pretty much decimated the medical marijuana industry there, and that was their stated goal. And I mean that literally. Decimated is a word that literally means to reduce to by a factor of 10. Right, to reduce to 1/10 of what it was. And when they looked at the medical marijuana registry rates and saw 30,000 patients, they said, "Oh, there ought to be about 2,000 or 3,000 of them." And made these rules with that in mind, that's decimation. They have decimated that program in Montana, and it looks as though Montanans, the general public, support that. And it once again shows that medical marijuana is a stopgap measure. We often said that, you know, if we have this war on drugs, let's at least take the sick and dying off the battlefield. But it still leaves a war raging on. It still leaves a battlefield upon which people's lives are ruined and sometimes lost over this plant, over this medicine. And this poll number showing that the Montanans generally support this crackdown once again reiterates something I've been saying for a long time. And that is, generally speaking, among the general public, not people who support legalization, because naturally, if you support legalization for everyone, you support legalization of medical, right? I can't see a person that says, yeah, I think anybody ought to be able to smoke weed, but we shouldn't pass a medical marijuana law. I doubt that, right? So take away the people who already support legalization, and you're left with people who just support medical in that voting block of people of 62% who passed medical marijuana in Montana. If you look at those people who support medical but don't support legalization, it's my theory that they're working off a lesser of two evils strategy. And the way this works is that these people look at marijuana smoking and marijuana users and see something that is bad, evil, wicked, needs to be stopped, needs to
drugs
be...
Drugs are bad.
Exactly.
You shouldn't do drugs.
Yes.
If you do them, you're bad, because drugs are bad, okay?
Yeah, so drugs are bad, okay? That's their starting point, right, with marijuana. Drugs are bad, they're evil, we got to stop people from doing them. But then, in 2004, we made Montana voters weigh that against sick and dying people suffering. People with cancer and AIDS and glaucoma, you know, suffering. And Montana voters, the ones who don't support legalization but do support medical, I believe the way that it works is they go, well, yeah, pot smoking's evil, but letting people suffer is more evil, so let's vote for medical marijuana. Then, since 2004, when they saw the proliferation of dispensaries in Montana and the rapid rise in the patient counts, they started to believe, yeah, it's still more evil to let people suffer, but what we have now is more people smoking pot who aren't really suffering people. They're just pot smokers. And remember, pot smokers are evil. We got to stop them. So with this passage of SB 423, I feel like they think the scales have been righted again, that, okay, we're back to the way it should be. We're not letting the evil happen of really sick people suffering, but we're also preventing the evil of healthy people smoking pot in the minds of Montanans. And furthermore, the really shocking number here to me, finding out that 55% of Montanans agree with the ATF memo that medical marijuana patients should not be allowed to buy ammunition or weapons? Really? A majority of Montanans think that if you choose marijuana as a medicine, you have to be a second-class citizen. But if you go back to my hypothesis of feeling that pot smoking is evil but people suffering is more evil, it makes perfect sense. In the mind of the person who believes that healthy people should be thrown in prison, but sick people shouldn't, they've got to imagine that the person getting medical marijuana is so sick, so disabled, that you wouldn't want them to have a gun in their hands, right? This guy's got multiple sclerosis. He's got tremors. We don't want him to have a gun in his hands. This person's got cancer and they're about to die. What are they going to need a gun for? They're not going to go hunting anytime soon. They don't perceive of medical marijuana as something that would be used as a lifestyle implement, as a supplement. They don't understand that people who live with chronic pain live. They can live for years and years and years, for decades and decades. And to manage that chronic pain, they can use cannabis. And they might want to engage in other activities like hunting or target shooting or even having a firearm for personal defense when they're growing those plants out in the backyard that people want to invade their home for and cause violence against them to rip off. 55% of Montanans? Wow. But again, like I said, they don't imagine that marijuana use by people who are living is a good thing. They see that as evil. So once again, this shows me that we have to continue to fight for the full legalization of marijuana. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more after this.
When I was in England, I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale, and never tried it again.
I think you'd probably be a lot cooler if you had, Mr. President.
I said, hey, do you have a joint case? Girl, would be a lot cooler if you did. Lie to don't hide it.
Just say no.
No matter what you call it, it's a huge part of popular culture.
Where'd you learn that, Cheech? Drug school.
You don't need weed school. You just need a copy of the new book, Pot Culture, The A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life.
Hey, this is great, man.
Even if you never smoked marijuana.
I never used marijuana. Sorry.
Don't think you smoked marijuana.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two and didn't inhale.
Or you used to smoke marijuana.
I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Pot Culture by former High Times editor Steve Bloom and Shirley Halperin will answer every question you ever had about marijuana culture.
Has that marijuana made it back up here yet?
Check out Pot Culture, the A to Z guide to stoner language and life at Amazon.com or visit potculturebook.com today.
Too bad, man. I just stopped smoking yesterday.
Yo, what's up? This is Miles from Slightly Stupid. You're listening to Normal Show Live.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Herb Thrasher of Normal Rocks, and you need to be reminded that we are live every Friday night at 8 p.m. on the Normal Network. Replays at Saturday at 7 p.m., Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. for your wake and bake. Cheers.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. my job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month. And when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. Weedmaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit Weedmaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network. Inhaling deeply all the sacred
smoke. You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Shirley, you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Right, a little rant.
Welcome back, everybody. Here, as we wind out this show, I'm just perusing some more news sites and websites out there to get some general commentary on what's happening today. And I found this great piece. This is an opinion piece. I think it's out of San Diego City Beat. There we go, SanDiegoCityBeat.com by Edwin Decker. And it caught my eye because the headline was, "Will marijuana consumption double or triple if made legal? I doubt it." And the subhead, love this subhead, "Fuddy Duddies pull statistics out of their butts to make a point." How many times have we wanted to just put it that way? So let me give you some of the stuff here from Edwin Decker, and I love the way he writes this. Gallup recently reported that 50% of Americans are in favor of legalizing marijuana, while 46% remain opposed. Well, doesn't that just bubble my bong water? For the first time, we can actually say there are more rational, logical, free thinkers in our society than idiot bovine who mindlessly devour the propaganda of the anti-fun fuddy-duddies who have lorded over our country for way too long. Well put. And then he points out that after Gallup came out with this, all of the prohibitionists got up on the airwaves and started predicting, you know, hellfire and damnation, what would happen if we were to legalize. And one of them, of course, was David Evans of the Drug Free America Foundation. David Evans, you've seen him on our show before. Alan St. Pierre has debated him on television many times. He's also the man that helped me to coin what I call the David Evans equation, which is where he says, well, if we legalize marijuana, social costs will go up and the taxes won't cover it. Because the taxes don't cover the social costs of alcohol and tobacco. The David Evans equation is basically, well, make the taxes whatever they have to be to cover whatever the cost is that you never mention. But okay, thanks, David. Anyway, David Evans said on MSNBC, quote, "Marijuana use is going to double or triple if made legal." Oh, no. And so let me continue with Edwin Decker here. "Don't you hate it when people make declarative, predictive statements about things that might happen in the future when everybody knows that nobody knows what the future will hold? Evans said that marijuana use is going to double or triple, not I think I will, or I believe it will, or my gut feeling is that it will. It's a statistic he clearly pulled from his anus. Actually, to retrieve such a ludicrous stat, he had to reach his arm beyond his anus, deep into the ravaged hinterland of his rectum, past the cold, crusty crevasse of his dying colon, up the snaky ravine of his intestines, where his fist waged an epic battle at the gates of the iliocecal valve, fiercely guarded by the owls of gay hole, and drilled into the slimy folds of the lumen where the poop and other poop-like matter, such as bogus statistics, are formed." thank you, Edwin, for making me smile. And of course, he points out there's no way of foretelling, you know, what would happen if, we legalized marijuana. Will the price go up or down? How much would it be taxed? What would the government regulation will be? How much marketing is allowed? You can't really predict the future in this situation. But of course, the point here is to just scare people. That's the whole point of Evans coming out and saying this, is to try to scare people away from the idea that legalizing might be better than what we're doing now. But he continues here. Edwin continues with his own guesses, and I thought this was very interesting. Quote, this is his writing again. My gut feeling is that there would be a slight increase in usage if pot were made legal, about 10 to 15%, which would occur over the course of a dozen or so years. And my reasoning is, number one, pot is already as easy to acquire as any legal drug and damn near as easy as buying groceries. Cripes, my pot dealer delivers, making it easier for me to score a quarter ounce than a quarter pounder with cheese. Now, he is writing from San Diego, folks. Number two, according to a 2009 survey conducted by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, roughly 102 million Americans, or 41%, have admitted to using marijuana during their lifetimes, while 15 million, 6%, admitted to using regularly, that's monthly. Put another way, of the 102 million Americans who have tried marijuana, 85% of them did not become regular smokers, which suggests that there isn't a whole shitload of people out there who tried it and realized at some point it wasn't for them, which suggests that it wasn't a law that kept those 87 million people from smoking dope, or they wouldn't have tried it in the first place. Rather, it was their own disinterest. There is something Evans did say that makes sense. He said that when cannabis consumption doubles or triples, quote, all costs to society will double or triple as well, end quote. Well, that seems reasonable. Whatever the increase in consumption, 10%, 50%, double, triple, centuple, the cost to society will likely increase respectively. Of course, the question then becomes, what are the societal costs of marijuana consumption and legalization? Is it the cost of manufacturing more cardboard Pringles canisters? Is it the cost of pressing all those extra string cheese incident concert tickets? Is it the cost of providing emergency room health care to uninsured reefer smokers who burn their fingers trying to light the last millimeter of a roach? Or is it the cost of hiring more IRS agents to collect and oversee the estimated $6 billion in extra tax revenue should pot become legal? So that's an interesting point out there at SD City Beat. Edwin Decker, will marijuana consumption double or triple if made legal? I doubt it. And you know, whenever this issue comes up about what would happen if we legalize, and they bring up, well, marijuana consumption would increase. One possible response to that is, so what? What is the harm? What is the problem? What's so bad if marijuana consumption should increase? Because first of all, we can point back in society to times when marijuana consumption was more than it is now. 1979. In 1979, consumption of marijuana was about twice what it is now amongst the youth, and it was much greater amongst adults than it is now. Now I know, 1979, we had, what, mass inflation, big unemployment. We were having troubles in the Middle East. We had a ineffectual Democrat in office and Republicans jockeying to take his place. I mean, how much different was 1979 than today? You know, music's a little different. We got a little better technology, but with twice the marijuana use back then, it's not like American society crumbled or fell apart. It's not like, it was the worst of times. And again, I don't think marijuana consumption is going to go up as much as that either. I do predict a somewhat of a increase, because the current pot smokers, some of you guys out there who are, you know, living in drought land, you know, living in Iowa and Tennessee and Kentucky and, you know, having trouble getting regular supply. Well, under a legalization scheme, you would be able to get a regular supply, at least what you could afford, or you'd be able to grow your own. So yes, I believe consumption will go up, but I don't think the number of pot smokers necessarily goes up as much as consumption does. I think the people who smoke pot now will smoke more of it, but I don't think there will be a corresponding increase in the number of people trying pot because it's now legal. I think everybody who wanted to try pot has had a chance of doing that, has had the chance to try pot. Like we've said, it's pretty easy to get a hold of if you really want to get a hold of some. But even if we do have more people smoking pot, is that a bad thing? Why is the assumption necessarily that we should be trying to reduce pot smoking? We never seem to have an assumption that we need to reduce alcohol drinking. We have an assumption we need to reduce tobacco smoking, certainly. We've undergone that for years now, and it's actually worked. But nobody ever comes out and says, we need to see less beer drinking in America. There needs to be less beer drinking. We need to do something to get people to drink less beer. It doesn't happen, right? We pretty much, if beer drinking goes, now we hear that about teens, about young people, want to reduce youth consumption, sure. But adult consumption never seems to get addressed in that matter. Drink responsibly. Don't drink too much at one sitting or anything. But nothing about, having to have a public policy to try to make less people drink. Well, I don't know. Maybe alcohol taxes. Maybe alcohol taxes might be that. But still. I don't see that we have to make that as an assumption that consumption needs to be brought down. I actually think increased consumption of cannabis will lead to less societal costs overall. Think about it this way. Think about the people who are substituting, like we talked about in that Berkeley patients group survey, where one or two thirds of them were substituting cannabis for prescription drugs. Well, we also showed you how people that use NSAIDs, the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, the naproxens and Tylenols and things like that for pain relief, that we get 100,000 hospitalizations a year due to stomach bleeding because of those, 10 to 20,000 deaths per year because of these NSAIDs. If cannabis smoking goes up and the people smoking cannabis are doing so in substitution for the use of popping a Tylenol when they get a headache, maybe our societal costs go down from less people having to be hospitalized with bleeding stomach ulcers. Maybe our societal costs go down because people wanting to party on a Friday night can get high on weed and be relatively mellow instead of drinking alcohol and becoming belligerent or driving drunk. To say that the costs of marijuana consumption will necessarily lead to increased costs because of marijuana ignores the fact that increased marijuana consumption may lead to less costs in other areas of health and public policy. These are big numbers we're working with and lots of intertwined statistics. It makes it hard to make any firm and accurate predictions here. But it seems to me, in a common sense way, if marijuana is less harmful than the other drugs out there that it might be substituted for, then by definition, making it legal and getting more access to it should reduce healthcare costs. Just seems logical to me. All right. Other things going on in the news here that I wanted to bring up before we end the show. In Augusta, Maine, this comes from the Kennebec Journal. In Augusta, certified patients will use medical marijuana in an outdoor tent on public property as part of a trade show at the Augusta Civic Center this weekend. The sanctioned use of marijuana on public property, part of the two-day homegrown Maine trade show organized by Medical Marijuana Caregivers of Maine, is unprecedented in the state, the result of intensive negotiations among the Kennebec County District Attorney's Office, the Augusta Police Department, event organizers, and Civic Center personnel. Accommodating legal users of the drug posed a sticky issue for Civic Center staff. Sticky issue. Yeah, they don't even know it's a pun. For instance, where could attendees who hold proper legal documentation be permitted to use marijuana for medical purposes? The state law that permits medical use of marijuana to relieve debilitating medical conditions bans people from smoking it in public places. The answer, negotiated through law enforcement officials and transmitted to the show's organizers, is to use a vaporizer, which produces no smoke, in a controlled location. Admission to the tent will be controlled by Medical Marijuana Caregivers of Maine staff who will check the legal qualifications of persons. This is the Augusta Civic Center. It's taking place, looks like today, no, I'm sorry, Saturday, 9 a.m. to midnight, and then 9 a.m. to 7 on Sunday at the Augusta Civic Center, Augusta, Maine. Admission is $10 per person. Dr. Dustin Sulak will be there. Dr. Lester Grinspoon will be there. Two fantastic presenters on the issue of marijuana and medicine. Plus, there'll be performances by the 220s, Cyborg Trio, Guizio's Educated Advocates, and Barefoot Truth of Bell Dancing. So lots of fun and information at the Homegrown Maine Music and Advocacy Festival, Augusta Civic Center. For more information, you can check out the kjonline.com and look up the Maine Smokeout. Hey, folks, thanks for joining us here. Sorry about the problems getting the guests on the line, but we will have them for you tomorrow and the rest of next week on Normal Show Live. For Cannabis Carrie and everyone here at the Normal Foundation, thanks for joining us. Stay tuned for Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio, if you're listening live. Otherwise, stay tuned for more great stuff here on the Normal Network. And until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is Normal Show Live. The voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.